You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and an attempt to understand the not-est league, not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I am Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He's Mr. Dr. Brandon.
I want to add a title every week. I like want it to be Mr. Dr. Brandon DDS, MD.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Hey, do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know the best ever bald on Seattle Sounders FC.
Now, there are a lot of options here, but yeah. You went with the two in this. From Golden Bogan Hogan, I love saying it, from Golden Bogan Hogan, Brad Smith, yeah. To underwear model, which is true, Freddie Lindenberg. But, I mean, you could go with Casey Keller. You could go with Marcus Hanneman. There are, like, plenty of good balds on the Sounders.
Chad Barrett,
great bald.
Think Casey Keller is probably right up there. Who's your favorite ever bald? Leave us a comment. We'll maybe check it someday. Probably not.
Hit us up. We haven't checked in a while, actually.
That's what I mean. Full90podcast.com. It turns out a team with two Stephens is a pretty good team. Sounders squared up against the fighting Brad Bobleys. It's amazing. And once again, our Daddy Schmetz stared Voldemort in the eyes and told him to get lost. His beautiful baby bald boy Brad and his super polite son Javi are gonna eat your lunch. Just imagine a world where you're not supporting the Seattle freaking Sounders.
I could not imagine.
An excellent take, Brandon, because they're the freaking best.
I was talking to Catherine the other day, my wife, and I told her, I feel so bad for people that don't get to support teams like the Sounders because she was like, well, you support the Mariners. And I was like, no, it's different though. It's different, which first of all, burn. But I was like, no, it's different because like, we know the Mariners are going to be bad.
Oh man!
I was like, it's different because you know the Mariners are going to be bad, and you kind of have hot takes about the Mariners being bad. You know the Sounders are going to be good, so it's fun. I was talking about like, imagine supporting like Wolverhampton, right? Like in the Premier
League,
they're always going to be kind of like middle table, you know?
But the comparison's not fair. The comparison's not fair because the MLS is so ruthlessly controlled, and there's no huge financial advantage. You did not mute it when you coughed there.
Whoops. I don't know how that happened.
But like the financials are too even, so you get turnover pretty quickly. Like if you're not Man City right now, you're never gonna.
Okay.
I guess it's fair still.
Imagine supporting, I don't know.
You're actually kind of right, Brandon. You're kind of right because, like, if you're not supporting Man City or Liverpool, I guess, right now, what's even the point? I guess you can support Leicester and win an FA Cup or something.
Well, I told Catherine, I was like, it's like, at least if you support Fulham, right, the team that got relegated 2 seasons ago, got promoted the following season, and then got relegated again this season, at least every other season you get to cheer for a championship season. You know what I mean? But, like, if you support, I don't know, Real Salt Lake, right?
Yeah.
You're supporting a middle... They're not the worst team in the league. You don't get to, like, do the full rebuild every season, you know, or every once in a while, like, refresh your entire team.
Or if you're the Mariners, 20 straight years of rebuilding.
20 straight years of rebuilding. It's like the Mariners are taking after the Bertha Tunnel Project.
It's like they're trying to build an igloo on the beach. Like, yeah. It's just like you're constantly rebuilding.
Yeah. Yeah. The only team that they have the potential now to become the only team to be no-hit three times in a season.
I mean, and if you look at it, they're on track. They got their second no-hitter thrown against them by a guy who is significantly
not good.
Threw a no-hitter against them last night, and they still have they have 119 more games to play this season. Like, the chances are pretty good. Hey, but record-setting Seattle Mariners. Let's go!
Yeah. In one way or another, they're gonna get a record.
The longest running American sports franchise that hasn't been to the playoffs, like no one has been away from the playoffs. They're like the opposite of the Sounders.
Yeah.
Your wife's burn is so comprehensive.
I know.
It's really good.
I know.
Because they're the opposite Sounders. Like, the Sounders have been every year, 12 out of 11 years, they've been to the playoffs.
No, it's like 25 out of 6 years
they've
been to the playoffs. Yeah.
They have like an over 400% playoff return, including a couple championships.
Right.
And so the Mariners, I mean, they can't even get out of the month of May.
Yeah, I mean, they won the Supporter Shield in MLB one season, but they've never won the MLB Cup.
Captain Plastic or whatever the guy's name is at T-Mobile Park has a better winning record, and Plastic's not even really recyclable.
Yeah. It's like, I think that at this point, the only reason that people go to Mariners games is so they can watch the hydroplane races on
the screen. I feel like the Sith, or I feel like the, was that his name, Captain Plastic? Is
yeah,
that
it's something was, like that. Captain Planet? No, it's not Captain Planet.
Captain Plastic and Kid Compost.
Oh, right.
I feel like they're secretly Sith because Kid Compost, like I just said, like the recycling thing is pretty iffy, but composting is legit, and I feel like here at some moment, Kid Compost is going to strike Captain Plastic down, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Wait, and then, like, is there going to be a his Padawans reduce, reuse, and recycle?
Like three of them?
Yeah.
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 I like that. Great. A triangle of
the clones.
Yeah. They are the clones. Yeah. Man, Star Wars works really well here.
Oh, great. Now we spent 20 minutes talking about baseball.
What? Come on, this podcast. Just be happy I haven't been watching sumo. It's a touchy subject, but let's just be happy that because there's a lot to say about it.
Yeah, what's touchy about it? I mean, I guess the entire sport is touchy.
It's
a lot of touching.
They're not even like wearing underwear and they're belly rubbing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
God, it's incredible. Like, the two fattest guys went head to head the other day and they like just straight up like it's like this, they like live the stereotype. There's belly to belly and then they're like pushing each other.
You sound like a Tuscan Raider right there.
and then after like 4 seconds of wrestling, both of them are like, it's amazing. But they also, if one of them ran into you, you would literally die. I think that your frail human body would not be able, and you being the collective you, not just you, Brandon.
No, I'm a small person. So I think like, you actually might have it worse because just the leverage that you have much further to fall.
Luckily, I'm also terrible at jumping, so I couldn't even jump over him.
Great.
Do you know Hakuho is almost my size? He's like 6'3" or something like that.
Whoa.
He's like a big, huge dude.
Yeah. I mean, I knew he was
formidable.
Fat, but yeah, formidable. Yeah. Fair. I knew he was girthy.
You used the wrong F word, right?
Yeah. I knew he was
Jesus.
Sorry.
He is. He's got all kinds of kids, man. It's great.
Oh.
Hey, can we real quick, before we get into talking about our own team, can we talk about another team?
Yeah, I would love to.
I want to bring up the dumbest team in MLS, and it's not because of the players or because of the fans. The fans, I do remember being mad at the fans at the end of MLS Cup for some reason.
Well, their fans
but
suck. Their coach
go.
Is Caleb Porter. Like,
oh,
I mean, enough reasons to dislike them, but they are dumber for many more reasons.
Of course, we're talking about Columbus soccer team.
FC, I don't know what FC Columbus Crew, SC United.
I don't know what they're called, and the fans are obviously going to call them the Crew. And is it the Crew Boo? Are they going to boo the ownership with the Crew Boo?
Well, oh, this is the whole thing is so crazy. So we spent plenty of time roasting their crest last week. Now, at this point, it's like, so here's what's happened since. So Columbus Crew, just to refresh your memory, without consulting the fans, they rebranded their rebrand and changed the team from being called Columbus Crew to Columbus SC.
Now, they did that at a low point when they were trying to turn things around, right?
Right. When they went from, like, the three guys in hard hats to the circle, like, Borussia Dortmund crest-looking thing?
I'm saying that they rebranded at a time in their club's history when they were at a low.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, right after winning the MLS Cup.
Oh, that's right. When they had the most clout possible. I think I was reading a Deadspin article about it, and they were like, pretending that using a European-style soccer name is what's going to globalize your brand when MLS isn't even known in its own country and never will be. Like, oh, man.
Well, Deadspin will take any chance to, like, absolutely dunk on MLS and never take the chance to be like, whoa, look at this crazy goal that they just scored. You know, it's like when Breck Shea scores a goal that gets called offside because it hits Higuain's foot in the goal. Like that is the kind of stuff that Deadspin likes to talk about. But
they hilariously claimed it would help with global branding and awareness, as if the only thing keeping MLS clubs from being hot in Japan is sounding like yet another European name. Knockoff. MLS has a long way to go to being a brand just in the U.S. so they could save their global worries for never.
Yeah, great. I mean, fair.
Never.
Columbus had their old hard hat crew logo, right? And then they got bought by the people that own the Stephen Cleveland Browns. And then they rebranded the team to look more European, right? Like the crest looked more European, but they were called Columbus Crew SC. Then, just after winning the MLS Cup, they come and rebrand the name as Columbus SC. They changed the logo to a weird, what do we call it? Like the key ring shape. Sorry. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. It's the shape of the Ohio State flag. And took away the Crew from the name, which pissed off all of the fans. And so after a week of just absolutely getting roasted by everybody, their own fans, by the league, by international outlets, by Deadspin apparently, who just loves to roast everybody, they met with the supporters group of Columbus called the Nordic, and which is the worst name. They met with that group and they came out and they said, okay, we are going to replace the Dorito in the bottom right that tells you which side the gas tank is on with the number 96, because that's a big part of their brand. Then they're going to take away SC and just replace it with Crew. So the crest is mostly the same. I would say arguably it's better. I think just getting rid of the Dorito makes it look a lot better. Calling them the Crew makes the most sense, but they still, I mean, it's still a arguably bad logo.
I mean, who's doing that arguing? What it tells me is that that club has a leadership problem where somebody at the top was like, we're doing this, and without anyone else being able to be like, it's a bad idea, boss, because they're too afraid to bring that up or whatever it might be. That's what I can't confirm that. I don't have any, it's only gut to me is that you when you get a bunch of yes people around, you're like, great, that's great, yeah, we'll definitely drop our whole identity and just go with that, keep the color and the word of our city, and that's it. It's a huge bad, it was hugely bad
bad. Yeah, there was a just like, I'll let you in on a little bit of I think this is what happened with Columbus, and this is how it happened. Do you remember the S2 logo?
Yeah, sure.
It was bad, right?
The S2 was the Sounders main team logo, and then it was, rather than having the logo, it was whited out, and it just said S2 in kind of like a generic font. And the idea is that you earn your crest and make it to the first team.
I remember back when I worked there, I was, you know, I came on after the brand had been launched and all of that, but right at the launch of S2, and I had talked to some of the designers, and they were basically like, yeah, we know this isn't good, but like, we're following orders, right? And so they designed the thing that I would imagine that's exactly what like a designer with whoever the Crew was working with was like, you guys, this is arguably a bad, like, what is this triangle down here? Like, what is going on
here?
But they
itself
have to do it.
Yeah, you're being hired and you just do what the person says, whether they
right.
do. It's like the episode of The Office where Michael makes the commercial for the company.
Yeah.
And the guys are like, listen, fine, man. We're just here to make to get the 5 seconds of video. We right. don't give a shit about you at all. So right. have at it. Yeah. But just the idea that you would rebrand and drop the name and that no one could like, hey, yo, stop. We just did it. I know we got that new stadium coming, but let's celebrate the new stadium by putting a big ass flag that says we're the champions in it. That'll be badass. No. Let's change everything.
Yeah. Let's do it all. Let's just change it all while we're at it.
Chicago Fire did not work out for them. After 2 seasons, they're ditching their new logo and going to something, I'm sure, equally terrible for next season. But yeah.
So, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, good times. How about that Seattle Sounders FC, after a shaky first half, annihilating LAFC again? And just to set the stage, Seattle Sounders FC best start ever, I think? Is that true?
I think tied for their best start ever at this point. So they had the chance to equal it. Worst LAFC, start.
Worst in the West? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, not if you're Fox Sports and you just want to...
But their best player couldn't play until the second... Yeah.
So, of course, they're bad because Carlos Vela is out. Oh. It's like,
Wait a second. Does Seattle have any players out right now? Oh, yeah. Their best player also out.
Josh Atencio, right?
Yeah, obviously. The new $65,000 man.
It is. Yeah, there you go. How many Atencios are you making?
I refuse. It's all new. It's all new from here on out. Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Aaron Merritt for doing the math on Twitter.
I don't remember it at all, but it was spot on.
Yeah, it was great. As far as I know, he could have literally said anything. He's like, one new who is worth 5 Doritos. And I'd have been like, absolutely.
Don't tell the crew.
Yeah. They're like, how many new who's can we fit into our crest? So it was crazy. Like, going into this match, you know you're playing without Stefan Fry. You know you're playing without Nico Ladero. Freddy Montero starts on the bench every match. Your bench is like... looks like a high school bench because it is a bunch of high schoolers for the most part.
Old man Montero.
Yeah, and then Freddie Montero, like, just like substitute teacher keeping them in place. You know, and then Stephen Cleveland starting in goal, brand new goalkeeper, has only started like one other MLS match, happened to be against LAFC, where he earned a win. Playing without Nico Ladero, the best player for the Sounders, arguably one of the best players in the league. I've said arguably a lot. I'm trying to argue, apparently. I'm ready.
Belly bump. Let's belly time. Bump.
I was gonna say, put your diaper on. Let's get at it. But then the Sounders go into it and they look like they're a team playing without their best player, and they look like they're playing with a goalkeeper who hasn't seen a lot of minutes in the league. He had one slip in the back of the on a back pass early in the match, and that's all the broadcast crew could talk about for the next 45 minutes, right? They went full Taylor Twellman on that slip.
that broadcast crew, my God.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think it's just the guy who was Jake Zivin, who is the he was the play-by-play guy, who is actually the Portland Timbers play-by-play guy. So, shout-outs Casey Costigan, who happens to also...
Yeah, it's between Costigan, that guy, and John Strong.
Yeah.
And it's like you just end up with only Portland people doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then you had, I don't remember the dude who was doing the commentary, the British
Warren
guy.
Barton?
Yeah, yeah. His kid actually at one point played for Sounders 2. He's actually, Warren Barton himself is actually, I think, coached within the Sounders organization.
Yeah, he's great.
He had some great things to say about the Sounders. Yeah, he had great things to... I actually really appreciated his commentary throughout the match. He seemed to know a lot about these players because he personally has worked with a lot of those players, mm-hmm. Both on both sides of the team, right? He said there's great people on both sides. Yeah. Bigly. For the Sounders to go into that match and look shaky throughout that first half, who knows what Brian Schmetzer has been saying to these teams? Is he just like giving them corporal punishment and spanking them all at halftime?
Yeah, because in the first half you have Brad Smith wanting the golden sorry, I got that all wrong. The Golden Bogan Mulligan, more like it, after that first half performance and that goal where he opened his body up wide and just blasted it straight to the corner instead of... What an opportunity, and the type of play that Seattle has been all about converting just couldn't make that happen.
It would have been a beautiful goal.
Yeah, never mind. He comes back out in the second half and totally redeams himself. Yeah. And same thing with Arriaga. Did not look great. I mean, his hold-up play in his own final third was excellent. He was really keeping the ball way too long and creating a ton of nightmares for first-time goalkeeper Stefan Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, awful performance. But then he converts and makes it a match. So, yeah. Like, I don't know what Schmetz is doing in there, if he's changed his tone or tune or whatever, or if he's just same cool old Schmetz, but it is cool to see a team come out in the second half like that.
It's two matches in a row, right? You have Portland Timbers and then LAFC, where the Sounders have looked like garbage in the first half and come out and looked hot in the second half, right?
Hot.
He said during the halftime talk at against Fartland, Timberwolves, that he really chewed into that team and he really gave him, you know, a piece of his mind. I think going into this LAFC match, he's like, okay, being a meanie works. Like, I will go full angry dad at them at halftime, and they'll come out and perform, which they did. I mean, you had a bunch of guys play really solidly. I think Arriaga, for all of the, you know, crap that we've given him over the last few matches, had a really good game defensively for the most part.
In the second half,
sure. I think that he actually played really well during the second half. The first half, nobody played well, so I don't want to call him out specifically.
No, I'm calling him out specifically, though. Seriously, he was like, he kept playing the ball. He kept keeping possession right in front of the goal like three or four times he did.
Well, but here's what I want to give him a break, though, because what happened is you had Stefan Cleveland, who is a new to the starting lineup player, right? Like, has not started a game for the Sounders. He comes in and he looked shaky. I mean, obviously the Sounders want to play out of the back. That's been something that they've been doing all season. He looked really shaky to the point where a couple times it didn't even look like he was the one taking the goal kicks. He had Arriaga come back, pick up the ball within a couple feet of Cleveland. And then all of a sudden he has to start the play from, you know, a few yards in front of his own goal. So Arriaga, I think, is being put in a hard position to have to be able to play out of that spot, right? Because he's been given the directive by Schmetzer to do that. And Cleveland doesn't have necessarily, I think, the confidence or the, I don't know, maybe the match awareness quite yet in a big game like this to know when to play the ball long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, he's risking it. He's taking too much time in front of his own goal with no one behind him. I would find it hard to believe that Schmetzer's like, no, keep doing that. Like, that's the directive. Like, boot the ball out if you're that unsure about it, because that's quick little turnover there, and suddenly, you know, you give up a goal in front of a goalkeeper that hasn't started but for once. That's crazy.
Yeah,
but still, it doesn't matter because they got it together.
Yeah, they did, and he scores his first MLS goal.
Yeah, cool.
Wins the match ball. I think it was awarded the match ball by Schmetzer after the game, so that was great. Yeah. And I'm just saying, who needs strikers when you have defenders, right? Brad Bradsmith, Javier Arriaga, Raul Diaz, and Will Bruin. I barely heard their names mentioned throughout the match.
I hear that the ghost of Roman Torres scored, too.
And Panama's going to the World Cup again. Awesome.
Oh no.
I don't know. It's the Sounders defense still haven't given up a goal against the run of play. Their defenders are scoring, right? Brad Smith, who had scored one goal in his entire career up to this season, has now scored three. He's the Sounders' second leading goal scorer. Arriaga has a goal. I think Yamar got a goal earlier this season. So I think the only person on the defense without a goal is Nuhu.
God, Nuhu. And I saw him, you know, he seemed to pop up a couple times during that match. And then... But he's so mature about it now. Immediately dumps back and gets back into defense, man. Like, Jimmy Traore must have gotten to him or something, like, to be able to get him to hang back or to take a big old boot through it, one of the two.
Well, he did at one point. You're speaking about Jimmy Traore getting to him. At one point, he's 30 yards outside a goal, and the ball falls to his feet, and he's like, I'm going to shoot it. And he shot it. I mean, it went nowhere. I mean, it was like a little, you know, it, like, squirmed across the ground and, like, ran right into a defender's foot. Like, there was no chance of it going in. But Jimmy Traore is known for just absolutely, like, putting his foot through it from, like, miles away and scoring from it. So I think when Nuhu scores the goal, it's going to be a ridiculous goal.
Absolutely. How about old poor Bob Sadley?
Oh, Bob Sadley, poor guy. I don't know if you saw after the match, but Bob Bradley, head coach of the Los Angeles Football Club, walked up to Brian Schmetzer and just looked angry. Like he looked so upset. Every time the dude loses, he looks upset. He's like blaming everything and everybody. He's just Caleb Porter's dad at this point. Like he is the kind of guy that is like, well, we looked like we should have won that game. We were the better team. It's like, hey, you got shut out.
So wait, if Bob Bradley is Voldemort, does that make Caleb Porter that rat guy?
Yeah. Wormtail. What was that dude's name? Man, we got Star Wars references in this. We got Harry Potter references in this. Man, we're killing it with the fantasy and sci-fi crowds.
Peter Pettigrew,
there it is. Caleb Porter grew. but he looked so upset, and then so Brian Schmetzer, like, if you I can't lip read that well, but Brian Schmetzer sits there, it just looks like he's going no, like over and over to Bob Bradley, and then he says something, who knows what it is. Bob Bradley just throws his arms up and walks away. Who knows what he was upset about?
I think I figured it out. Okay. He was like, okay, this turf is out of, that was a foul. And Schmetzer's like, no. And he's like, listen, you guys don't deserve to be number one. And he goes, no. You're bottom of the West.
Yeah. Bottom of the best of the rest? No, not even that. Bottom of the West. Booja, booja, boo. speaking of the turf, we had somebody, we saw a tweet. Somebody was very upset that the Sounders have turf and that they need to get grass.
Not just the Sounders, but also the Portlands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were very upset that both teams up here in the Pacific Northwest have turf. And so there's a bunch of, I mean, basically you get this every time a team loses in Seattle. It's like, oh, the turf, well, we can't play on the turf. Like, I mean, freaking Thierry Henry, when he was playing for the Red Bulls, wouldn't even play in Seattle because of the turf. Cause he's like, oh, I don't want to hurt my knee.
I don't want to bouge a boo.
Spicy teriyaki, extra meat, extra rice. we get all sorts of complaints about the turf. And so obviously we respond and are snarky and say, like, basically stop complaining about the turf because you lost for a bunch of other reasons, including a man with a tucked in shirt and a very beautiful baby bald boy.
How about how his goal celebration is untucking his shirt?
I know. I was really hoping it would be like fake untuck the shirt and then go, no, no, no.
Just kidding. Oh.
Apparently the person like was upset that he was like, well, I was specifically referencing the time that Will Bruin fell down on his back and hurt his back. And I was like, do you expect us to timestamp your tweets? Like, I don't know.
By specifically referencing, you didn't actually reference. You just said, you just complained about the turf. I don't care who's, like, it's not our job to make sure you said what, like, to know what you meant. Just go screw yourself, man. You're just complaining about the turf. And I get it. We hate the turf too. At least I do. I don't know about you.
But I do, yeah.
I want to see him play on grass. Grass is way more... more fun, and you get goalkeepers sliding more on it, and players just being more aggressive.
That's just
on it.
Beautiful.
It's cool.
Too, right?
Yeah. Well,
so then we got called a couple of dick reply guys, and I was like, wait, does that mean we reply with our dicks? Does that mean we only reply to dicks?
Gen Z's not down for dick reply guys.
Unsolicited dick reply guys.
We're not a flyover state, please.
That was a really fun little Twitter exchange. I want to call out two specific moments in the match that I loved. One of them was that I think that Nuhu might be the only player in the entire league. So he is so good at shielding the ball. First of all, he's the only player in the entire league that I've ever seen be able to, while shielding the ball, juke somebody out of their freaking shoes. Like, he was shielding the ball out for a goal kick, and just while like shielding it, he kind of did a little juke, and a guy just straight up got lost. He was done. He broke his ankles. And so Nuhu is already like, I mean, who knows who this dude is, but this random guy on Twitter goes ahead and says that he has his top four MVP candidates. Number four, Christian Roldan. Number three and number two, some other guys on other teams. His number one MVP candidate for the season so far is Nuhu.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that... That's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, talk about like a not a transformation, because I think Nuhu, we talked about this last season, Nuhu was good last season, but he has been playing like a man on fire this year, and well deserving the spicy teriyaki that he gets after every match.
I wonder who, of all the players that you would want to see graduate from MLS into a better league, Nuhu's got to be at the top of that list.
I mean, I would hate to lose him because he's a walking meme who can actually play soccer. But at the same time, like, he's the kind of guy that just seems, he seems like a N'Golo Kanté, right? Like so likable. Everybody in the league, like, who can dislike this person? You put him anywhere and he's just a fun, nice person, it seems like. And you put him, I mean, I would love to see him go on to France, where he's obviously had some interest. He speaks French, he's from Cameroon. I'd love to see him go play in a bigger league and get paid more than the, I don't know, 102 Nuhus that he's currently making.
It sounds like you said 102 Nuhus, which is amazing. You got quite the pay bump after that performance.
Yeah.
And two?
And okay, and then the second thing is that at one, I think what Bob Bradley might have been upset about, he kept pointing over to one portion of the field where I think this might have happened. So Carlos Vela gets subbed in, and Danny Leyva gets subbed in, and then Carlos Vela. Whoa, their last names are like opposite syllables of each other, Leyva and Vela. I never realized that, but they get subbed in around the same time because
that Megazord is awesome.
Yes. they get subbed in around the same time, and at one point Danny Leyva, an 18-year-old, just turned 18 a couple of weeks ago, fouled Carlos Vela, and it was barely, I mean, it was, he barely clipped him in the back. I mean, it was not enough. And Carlos Vela went down like he had just been bowled over by Roman Torres, like a very big boy.
A literal bull.
It was a skinny little 18-year-old Danny Leyva who knocked him over. And that became like, oh, why are you trying to re-injure our star player and blah, 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 right? That's my guess of what Bob Bradley was about, upset about. Anyway, I just want to give shout-outs to Danny Leyva for going in and just putting the hurt on LA right away and just not being scared to step up to that.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
That brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Dick Reply Guys, man of the match.
Is that like a Five Guys type burger chain? The Dick Reply
Don't
Guys?
Don't bring them into this.
Your Dick Reply Guys, man of the match, Javier Arriaga.
Yeah, Dick Reply Guys. Send us a tweet. We'll send you a spicy dick reply.
Extra meat, extra rice.
All right. So let's just move forward right on past this. Congrats to Javi for his first goal of his MLS campaign. Sunday is the 23rd at 1:30. Atlanta United FC coming to Lumen Field to take on Seattle Sounders FC. 1:30 is a suggested time. Who knows when they'll actually start? But I got good news, Brandon.
You can actually watch this one.
I'm going to the match.
Woo! I am.
What was that noise? That was amazing.
That was my, you know, at the very beginning of the matches, and they have the orca like them. Yeah, that was that noise. The did you get tickets into the fully vaccinated section? Is my question.
I got tickets into the fully vaccinated section the first time of the season that there'll be. There's two different sections, and we are actually in the 300 level somewhere I've never sat before. Whoa. But it, oh, maybe I have. Actually, my buddy Sean and I went once.
It's a good thing because the vaccine prevents against nosebleeds.
We're in the front row.
Okay,
but most importantly, Atlanta United is coming to town. And a quick backstory for anyone who's new to this and hasn't been a part of this. My mother-in-law, Deb, she is from Atlanta. She's lived there. She lived there for 50-something years or whatever. And she left before Atlanta United was even an actual team. They'd never kicked a ball in play. And she moved to Seattle, where that year, Seattle Sounders FC won the championship. Okay, they won MLS Cup. And she's an Atlanta United fan. And
of course,
it drives me crazy beyond belief all the time that she's talking to me about Atlanta United. Every time I'm like, you know that a team is here that we could all root for together. But to her credit, she does follow Atlanta United. She knows about him. She knows that Yosef is hurt and that he's back and that he's that he hasn't done anything yet and he's scoring goals and that Miggy got sold to
Newcastle.
Yeah. And like, she knows all these things, and it's so full credit to her. I try to.
She's actually a fan. Like, she's actually supporting the club, right?
It's not just because they're Atlanta. I mean, it is that, but like, she actually then invests in it too. And plus, what the hell else does she have going on? She might as well. So I know she's coming to town, and for some reason I didn't notice that Atlanta was the one that was playing on Sunday. So I went in for tickets, and I was able to secure some. And so I'm taking Deb to see Atlanta play Seattle.
That's
so Seattle,
nice.
You better f- win.
Stick it to Deb.
I can't handle that if not. I think they won a couple in a row here leading up to this, which is at home, of course, is one thing. So look for us in the 300 level in row A. So we'll have the rail to lean on to, and hopefully no one falls and dies. That would be terrible.
it's extremely unsafe standing section. You know how all of these clubs, all of these new stadiums have safe standing sections where like people, supporters can stand without like worrying about getting trampled by other, or falling over the seats in front of them. You are in the unsafe standing section where if you stand up, it is very possible that you will fall 100 feet to the next section below.
Sounders are opening up their fully vaccinated sections. We're both fully vaxxed, so we're going to go watch some soccer.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, going into this match, I would say that the Sounders have a decent chance to screw Deb. Atlanta currently fourth in the East with 8 points from 5 matches, 2 wins, 1 loss, 2 draws. Mm-hmm. Not playing convincingly well, not playing terrible, right? Yeah. They're tied for fourth, I think, with 3 other teams or something.
It's early.
Yosef Martinez, like you mentioned, has been out for a while. He missed a lot of last season, if not the full last season, with injury. He's back, but he's been very Carlos Vela so far, except he actually has 1 goal. So Yosef Martinez came back, scored a goal, I think, in their last match, played a little bit in their most recent match, did not score a goal, but he is back. That said, their win in the match that they most recently played came literally with a goal in the 94th minute. So it's not like they're out there blowing teams out, right? They have only scored 4 goals from open play. 6 goals total this entire season, 4 from open play. They've only given up 4 goals this season, so they have a +2 like goal differential so far. So they're not giving up a ton of goals. The Sounders have only given up, 2 goals this season?
Off set pieces.
And have scored how many at this point? 13? So the Sounders are, you know, on paper, the better team. Atlanta United, I mean, can't say enough about the fact that like Brad Smith with 3 goals as a defender has now more goals than Atlanta's leading goal scorer Marcelino Moreno, who has I think 2 goals on the season. So Atlanta isn't creating a lot of chances. They're not scoring a lot of goals. Mm-hmm. Their like star player with Yosef Martinez out has been Ezequiel Barco, who is potentially out for this upcoming match. Mm. And even if he's not, has not been playing particularly well this season. So I mean, this is not the Atlanta United MLS Cup winning Atlanta United from a few seasons ago. This is a very different Atlanta United who is not looking super strong, who is maybe going through what LAFC is going through right now, which is trying to learn how to play without your best player and pick up results in a season that, you know, you're just not playing particularly well.
It's a good thing we got that Garth Lager way. The match is on Sunday, 1:30 at home against Atlanta United, Seattle Sounders FC. Take a look into that Crystal Pepsi ball, Brandon, and the swirling effervescence, and tell me what you see for a result.
It is hard to predict a result in which Brad Smith does not score another goal. So I am going to give the Sounders a 2-0 win, a second consecutive 2-0 win. And I'm going to say goals from Brad Bradsmith. And for the love of God, give Will Bruin a goal. 2-0 goals from our Golden Bogan Hogan and our Big Bear.
Okay. I see a... I was going to go 2-0 also, so I'll pick something else. We should switch turns for how we do this, who picks first.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that with the return of a supporter section, the vaccinated section that ECS will help claim, that Sounders are going to be so uplifted to have fans back in the stands in a better number that we're going to see a real spirit to their first half, which has been a problem for them here, and we're going to witness a 3-1 victory.
Whoa. Yeah. So we're is that goal going to come from... open play?
Yeah, I think it will. I think there will be, because you're dealing with Stephen Cleveland and a finger wagging, he'll be wagging his finger at the ball coming towards him, Arriaga.
Yeah.
That wall's got to crack at some point. However, no one's really figured out the back five, so
sure.
We'll see.
Yeah.
In case this podcast was just too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen.
In case you're Brandon and you think this podcast is too long and you didn't listen, because I don't listen to our podcast. No, I don't listen while we're literally talking. Too long, didn't listen.
Let's hear it for Kid Compost, Sith Lord.
Sith Lord. Darth Compost. too long, didn't listen.
How about those Stephen Cleveland Browns?
It is so funny that he is he's actually from Ohio too. He's from Dayton, Ohio.
Is that closer to the other Ohio team, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, right.
No, that's Pennsylvania.
I have no idea.
I don't know my
Cleveland. I mean, it's all over there, right? It's all Rust Belt.
It's all over there.
Too long, didn't listen.
Put your diaper on. Let's get at it.
I want to rub some bellies.
Yes.
Too long, didn't listen.
Caleb Portergrew.
Hot rubbish.